Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
All right, for those of you that are unaware, today is Sunday, May the 4th. That's right, it is May the 4th, a day of significance for all the Star Wars fans out there, including myself. May the 4th be with all of you. This is a great day. I grew up with Star Wars. I love all the characters. I love the story. And it actually connects to our series, interestingly enough. Today we continue with episode 2 of our new Heart of Discipleship message series. Now, considering that the Star Wars saga kind of started with the training of young Jedis in the way of the Force, right? You got Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi. You've got little Yoda jumping all around with the power, you know, using the Force here and there. I think it's only fitting that we, as we jump deeper into our series, talk about this relationship between teachers and their students. Some develop to be Jedi masters. Others, like you and I, are trained in the ways of the Spirit. Now, Pastor Vince did a fantastic job last week kicking off our series, and he spoke to us about the low and slow kind of approach to discipleship. And this is coming from the master of the grill himself. Anything you've ever tasted from Vince's grill or his smoker is beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. But he's honed his skills. And as we liken that to how you and I are called to go deeper in God, sometimes it's not the overnight efforts that we put in place, but it's the low and slow progress over time and over the years as we go deeper with Him. So today we're going to build on that beginning as we consider the time that we spend with God as daily disciples of Christ. And you know what? I was so blessed to hear that many of you pressed into the altar last Sunday in both services to just commit yourself as disciples of Christ. Man, that touches my heart, because as we go deeper into this series and take really these next 2 months to do it, I'm praying that you'll come closer to Him than ever before, that not only will you become a greater disciple, but that you'll learn that your life can be used to touch and influence others as we make disciples of all the nations. So our journey of spiritual growth actually starts with our day of decision to follow Him. And then it builds on the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Every day causing us to grow stronger. Because salvation, as we understand, is just the beginning. And for some of you, you experienced that over Easter. And we're so excited for you. But what's ahead is growth. And as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we experience more of Him, more of His love, and more of His power. And each step, it brings us closer to Him. As the student reflects the leader or the teacher, daily revealing His glory through our lives to the world around us, because it's Him shining through us that really makes the difference. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 28. It's actually the final words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Very important words as we're commissioned to do a great thing. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples." Right out of the gate, He's telling us what we're called to do. Now, that word in the Greek literally means a student or one that's being instructed. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, not long ago, we had our tank full of people getting baptized, and I can't think of a more exciting day than Baptism Sunday. And we've got another one coming up soon. So if you've been thinking about it and praying about it, especially if you made a commitment to Christ throughout Easter, I want to encourage you to sign up today Even if you're joining us online, tell one of the hosts, give them your information, stop by the Welcome Center on the way out today, and be a part of our next baptism that's coming up on the 25th of this month. So it says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now listen, there's a lot of commands in the Bible, and as disciples, we're not always clear on how to walk them out. And so that's where the church comes in. That's where we as pastors enter the picture, because our job as pastors is not to tell you, just to tell you what those commands are, but to help teach you how to obey those commands, which is really the key, how to observe them. Because it's in our observation of these commands and living them out that we become the disciples he's called us to. So today's message, which is very practical in its approach, is less of a preach and more of a teach. It's kind of a way to kind of put handles on discipleship to say, okay, where do we begin? Why are we doing what we're doing? And what is the kind of priorities that I need to tackle? That's what this message is all about. It goes on to say, and surely I am with you always, Jesus says. And here, listen, the deeper you get to knowing him on your spiritual journey, the more you'll grow as a disciple. And he's promised to be with us every step of the way, even when it gets difficult. Even, the Bible says, to the very end of the age. So today I want to establish the kind of healthy baseline that I believe every disciple needs. And that's dealing with our daily with God, how we structure our time with him in order to grow and develop each and every day, how we start our day when it comes to being a Christ follower. What does that look like? Now, some of you, I realize, are already doing that and with some success. Maybe not to the level that you want, maybe not to the consistency that you want, but many other people would agree with its importance, but for whatever reason, with all the things that are happening, competing for our attention in our lives, even though we recognize its importance, some of you just can't seem to make it happen. You're in, you're out, you're up, you're down. Your heart is in the right place, but it needs to connect with some steps to actually create some of that consistency that the Lord wants you to have. You know, someone very wise once said that spiritual maturity isn't measured by how high you jump in praise, but how straight you walk in obedience. So I want to show you today how you can actually do that, how you can have some consistency in your daily time with God, and how you can obey his words and actually begin to grow. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this. If you've got your Bibles, turn there with me. Let's look at verses 31 through 32. And it says, if you hold to my teaching, another translation says, if you abide in what I've said, in other words, if you spend time with me, if you spend time in my teaching every day, then you are really my disciples. You're the ones who apply that truth, right, on a daily basis. Then the Bible says you will know the truth, the written truth and the living truth, Jesus himself, and the truth will set you free. He will set you free. James 1 verse 25 says, but if anyone keeps looking, so not just the Sunday experience, right, but somebody, a disciple who keeps looking steadily, the Bible says. James says steadily or daily into God's law for free men. He will not only remember it, but he will do what it says. And God will greatly bless him in everything that he does. And this is really what, as your pastor, I want for all of you. In the original Greek, greatly bless actually means that you're happier. You're not just happier because everything's perfect or you're never going to have another bad day in your life, but you're happier knowing that he's got you, that he's going to stand with you, walk with you, guide you through the challenging moments of life, and he's going to see you through, and you're going to be blessed because of it. You know, when I first visited a church in my teens that's like this church, everything, man, was new to me. The people, the music, the environment. So honestly, I didn't know what to think at first. I was trying to figure it all out. I was trying to figure the people that were interacting with me out. And some of them were very well-meaning. They wanted me to feel at home. But some of them, man, were right up in my space. And it was freaking me out a little bit. I had never lived around this kind of community before, even though later in life, as I got more involved in church and grew as a disciple, I would grow to greatly value those relationships. But in the moment, when you're talking to people and they're all right up here, it's a little unnerving. So I understand sometimes as a guest or someone who's searching that sometimes that can be overwhelming, because I think it took me a while to look past their approach and just to really see their heart, their intent. They were really trying to love me, and not everybody is easily loved. But suddenly, I found myself, as I got involved in this church community, I had a youth pastor suddenly. I'd never had a youth pastor before, and then I had youth leaders. All these people now were in my life, and up until this point, I had never had these kinds of people in my life. So now I had people that were teaching me and encouraging me to come out to church every week. Hey, man, we'll see you next week. I'm like, okay. And you know, I would come, and they kind of remember my name, and that kind of rung true for me. I thought, oh, that's impressive. You've remembered my name. But these people would also convince me to come out early for prayer. Man, I'd never got up that early in my life. There's something about getting up in the dark that just unnerves me. But I did. People around me were encouraging me in this way, to read my Bible, to come and pray, you know, to serve. And again, it was a lot, to be honest. You know, it was not something I disagreed with, but it was during that time that I learned to pray by listening to other people praying. I learned to study and read the Bible from those in that community, in that church, that had been doing it a lot longer than I had, right? And I learned to be a worshiper by being around worshipers, by watching them engage and grow in their own walk with God. So I was being discipled in those early days of my commitment to Christ without even realizing it. I was being shaped and modeled as I submitted myself to Christ by the people that he surrounded me with. And so as I spent more time with the church and with God's people, I was actually spending more time with God himself. And the more time you spend with the Master, the more you begin to reflect who he is. You begin to love the people that he loves. You begin to change, and you're transformed. And spending that time was actually creating growth within my life. Not something that I had buckled down and followed an easy three-step plan, but I was growing. And I could see it in myself. I wasn't responding the way that I used to. Maybe I wasn't as anxious as I used to be, or fearful. Now I was looking to the scriptures for direction, for comfort, for encouragement. Something about being held to a higher standard that stretches us to become more, right? And I was there for it. I was up for a challenge. I was young. I wanted to grow. I wanted to, whatever this was, I wanted to understand it more. I wanted to be what God had called me to be. And I knew that in order to do that, that in some cases I had to get out of the way of myself to let God do what he needed to do within me. And as a result of this this process of living and worshiping and growing in community, I learned some things that have helped me to grow in my journey as a disciple of Christ. So let me give you some practical steps that you can take to obey this command for us to become disciples and to make disciples. Things that we can actually hold on to and say, all right, I think I can understand that. I think I can do that. The first one is this, and it's a very important one. The first one is that we need to dedicate a time, whether it's in the calendar, on your phone, on your wall, in your head, you need to intentionally schedule a specific time every day with God. Start with something that you can manage and then build on it. A lot of times people will start with way too much. Man, I'm going to pray for 2 hours every day. And the first day they do it, they get 15 minutes in and then they wake up 3 hours later because they've drifted off to sleep. So I would encourage you that if this is something that's new for you or something that you're realigning yourself in, start with something that you can commit to. Start with 15 minutes a day, something that you can develop some consistency in, and you'll begin to see its effects and its influence as you come closer to Him. And if you know tomorrow morning, listen, I gotta be out the door by 7 o'clock to get to work or to school. Well, then set your alarm 15 minutes earlier and build in some time for God. Now, whether you're a morning person or an afternoon or night person, and listen, I haven't always been a morning person. It hasn't been my favorite time of the day. I like to get a good sleep, but try to start your day. I want to encourage you to start your day with God. For years, honestly, I used to jump out of bed, jump in the shower, get ready, and rush out the door into my busy day. That was just my MO. That's the way I did it. But thanks to my wife, who's got a different kind of clock on the inside, she knows how to breathe and take her time. She would say, you need to get up and give yourself some time to just have a coffee and relax before you jump into everything. And so I started to do that, to get up a little earlier, have a coffee, kind of wake myself up, and spend some time praying and reading scripture, an opportunity to gather my thoughts before everything around me was competing for my attention. And it has helped me. So you need to make an appointment with God every day. And again, for some it's the morning, others are late in the day, but for me, I'm just talking about for me. If I don't set aside time in the morning, and this is just me, then I get busy, and I get caught up in the things that I'm doing. I like to be active and busy and efficient, but if I get into the busyness of the day, then suddenly the day has come to a conclusion, and I'm tired, man. I don't want to read or to pray at that point, and I'm ready to go to bed, get some rest, and do it all over again. So I've got to set time aside for me and God in the morning. And people like Abraham and Jacob, Moses and Hannah, people like Job, Hezekiah, Daniel, all the greats of the Bible understood the significance of the first part of your day, of redeeming that time and spending time with God in the morning. In fact, King David, the great psalmist, said it like this in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. He says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you, and then I wait expectantly." Before you get into your day, lay down the things that sometimes weigh you down. Give it to Him. Lay those requests before Him and then wait for God's intervention in those situations. And of course, we also see it modeled in the one that we serve, right? In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus Himself says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark," there's that time of day that I'm not a fan of, when it's dark. I have a hard time getting going mentally just to embrace the day. I feel like I should still be under the cover somewhere. But it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left his house. Interesting, right, that he's going to a different location. And he went off, the Bible says, to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus knew that he needed to dedicate this time very early in the morning. He too knew that he was going to be pulled upon and asked to speak into people's lives, to heal and to teach. That day could easily get away from him, and he knew he needed to start by giving the very best of his day to his Father. So get your heart right before you face the day's challenges instead of afterwards. It's kind of like how we start our week with Sunday, right? We give him the best of our week by coming together to spend time in his word, time to worship. We start our week by honoring God in that way. The same is true with our day. So, very important to dedicate a time. Now, another practical step to help us develop as disciples, to help develop other disciples, is to prepare a place. So after you get your coffee, find yourself your favorite spot in the house, maybe your favorite chair inside or outside on the deck. If the weather is nice, find a place that you can get comfortable, but not too comfortable. Early on, I think in my younger years, I thought, well, I'm going to pray, but I'm just going to lay here and pray. It's just everything is nice and calm. Yeah, that doesn't work. You just find yourself sleeping again. And so you need to find a place where you could be alert and focused, a place where you can set the stage for God doing things in and through you in this specific time. And learn to silence the things that distract you. Now, for some of you, you need to take your phone. Now, I don't mean throw it into the lake, but you need to turn it off, or you need to turn it over, or put it somewhere away from where you're spending time with God, unless you're reading the Bible on your phone or doing a devotional. But how many know, man, that phone has become the ultimate distraction? Start your day in scripture, not in TikTok, because you get pulled in a million different bunny trails and off you go. And sometimes that can create greater anxiety if that's something you struggle with, greater fear if you're just sucked into the news feed of what's happening all around the world. Listen, start your day honoring the one that created you, that knows the very best plan for you and the one that's going to get you through some of those anxious and fearful moments. Start the day with him and find your solitary place, right? Like we just talked about this in Mark 1:35, where Jesus got up early in the morning to pray, but he went to find a particular place. He prepared this moment. He found a solitary place, not a place where people would crowd around him. He needed to understand, or he wanted us to understand, that his day needed to start with listening to his Father, with watching his Father. I only do what I see him do. I only say what I hear him say. He had to fill up so that as his Father poured him out during the day, he could then the next day fill up all over again. Some of us are trying to give and minister out of an empty cupboard. You get nothing to give except the memory of what God did in your life many years ago. God wants to do something fresh in your life today. And when you prepare a place, that solitary place for you and God to do it on a daily basis, then you've got something to give. Something actually can flow from that place. So get your Bible. Get it, whether it's the old-timey printed version or whether it's your digital version on your iPad, get your Bible. Listen, I've got some Bibles. This is one of them that, I don't know if you can see this on there, but man, it is like flying apart. And this is one of my favorite Bibles. Like if you could even see all the notes and the colors that I just like tear this apart. And I've got many Bibles like this. I believe that a well-used Bible is the sign of a well-lived life. dive into this book. Just consume it. Develop a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God so that when you get out into the world, you can live the truth that's on these pages. And so for you, I use both. I have a number of great Bibles that I study from and that I get into, but I also read scripture on my phone. I think YouVersion is one of the best apps out there for you to do that. I try, and this is me. Again, this is not me telling you have to do this, but for me, here's some kind of practical things that I aim to do. One of them is I try to read through the Bible cover to cover every year. And sometimes I do it book after book after book in order from Genesis right through to Revelation. Other times I'll read a version of the Bible in 1 year where it mixes the books up. A little bit from this book, a little bit from that book. But outside of my studies, outside of what I need to prepare to do, to teach and to lead, I try to read through the Bible cover to cover every year. Because I want to fill my life with the truth. I want to fill my life with the light of God so that when I'm exposed to darkness, it's startling. And it leads me, that light, away from those dark places and allows me to continue to grow. Now, that YouVersion Bible app, I also love to do devotions from time to time on different subjects. I enjoy that. As a church, we go through a church-wide devotion at Easter, at Christmas, at other times of the year, where we can encourage one another, where we can read the scriptures together, where we can type in some encouraging thoughts to pray together. I think it's important that part of our community as we grow as disciples is reading scripture and growing together. And that's all part of preparing a place for your growth. These are all the resources that you use in those times. And some of you need to give yourself a break because you're going to miss a day from time to time, right? It's not going to be a perfect score all the time. You might be on a streak, man, 2 weeks in a row every day. I've been just killing it. And then you completely forget one day because you got busy or someone you love called you up very upset and you tried to help them. And then you just kind of found yourself quite tired out and you went to bed. And then the next day you're like, I missed it. But you need to be easier on yourself. Show some grace, not just to the people around you, but to you. So that means you might have to double up the next day. Like yesterday, honest, I'm just being honest right now. I had my through the Bible in a year, and I had 3 or 4 chapters I had to read, and I just get so busy, I didn't do it. And so today, I had like 8 chapters to read instead of 4. But I rarely go past an extra day because I don't want it to get too far behind. And so it's going to happen. Just be easy on yourself and the process. Remember what Pastor Vince is talking about, that low and slow process of going deeper with God. It takes time. And you know what? As a church, we've got prayer guides and resources that you can have that will help you if you need them. All our pastors can access those resources for you. I encourage you to get a notebook, journal, kind of your thoughts, what God's saying to you as you go through the scriptures. It's great because you can look back and it's like a roadmap of your growth as a disciple. This Bible, man, it's just so good. Oh, even the smell of it. It just smells like Jedi training, right? Like, I love this. This has got history. This book, these Bibles, these moments, it's part of who I am. The other thing I love is worship, not just on a Sunday morning. I love it when it comes to my own time with God. So sometimes I pop in the earbuds and listen to some inspiring worship. And there's something about music that just brings you to a place of focus in the moment. And so always spend that time, kind of sets the tone for the day as you walk into your day with worship. Always, always, always spend time every day with the people you love. And that all starts with loving Him. The third area, the third practical step that will help us develop as disciples is to focus on these three elements that I'm going to give you. Very straightforward. But again, Start with at least 15 minutes a day. Involve these three elements in your prayer time, and I guarantee you, you will see growth in your life. Now, for this one, I'm going to give you a little bit of a side teaching that I first heard from Pastor Chris Hodges. I thought it was so brilliant. I've never forgotten it, and I want to give it to you today if you haven't heard it before, because it's a wonderful picture that helps us to build these elements into our time, our daily time with God. Now, in Scripture, there's references to angels. There's many angels at work behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, in heaven. But in Scripture, there's three angels that are actually referred to by name, and I believe with great reason. The first one that some of you may be familiar with is the angel Gabriel. Now, Gabriel is usually referred to as it's connected to the word. Gabriel was the angel who was always delivering a message, bringing a word from God, right? Remember Luke chapter 1? It was Gabriel who came to Mary to tell her about this miracle baby that was coming her way. You know what? We live in a day and age where the word of God is under fire like never before. And so you need to build into your daily some time in Scripture, in the word, because it's going to be the word that's going to keep you shored up when the world starts shaking, right? We need to learn to stand on a daily basis in the authority of the word of God. The second angel that's mentioned in Scripture is the angel Michael. Now, Michael is often associated with prayer. Michael was the intercessory or warring angel, the angel of prayer. We see him referred to in Daniel chapter 10. When you start praying, listen, he's warring in the heavenlies. There's a spiritual battle happening behind the scenes every time we begin to pray, and Michael is the one who's leading the charge when it comes to how we see him active within the pages of Scripture. And then finally, the third angel that we see referred to by name is the angel Lucifer. And Lucifer is connected to worship, a very powerful responsibility in heaven that he carried. Worship. This is the third angel in Scripture who would later, as many of you know, be renamed Satan. Now, he was in charge of worship in heaven, but Scripture tells us that he got proud and he was the one who got the boot and he was cast down from heaven. The book of Revelation records that a third of the angels were cast down with him. And I tell you what, if you've ever lost a job to somebody maybe that you know, it can be annoying. You don't always have the warm, fuzzy feelings for that person. When Lucifer was cast down from heaven and he had this incredible position, the Bible says that his very being was like an instrument. He had pipes built into him. His very presence was the most incredible music you could ever imagine. But when he was cast down, he lost that job. And now the church, you and I, we fill that vacancy. We are involved in that job as we worship God, and the devil hates you for it, because you're doing what he was created to do. It's a reminder to him every time we open our mouths to sing praises. But my point in talking about these three angels and the responsibilities that they're connected with is that these three areas are the most important parts of your relationship with God. These three parts are represented in every service that we have here at the church. Worship, the word, prayer. You're going to see those elements in every service that we have. But when I heard this teaching before, it helped me to kind of ground the importance of those things in my life. So each of us, we need to focus on these three areas in our daily time with God. So I listen to God through his word. Learn to listen. Read to listen. Don't just read to be disciplined or read to be in obedience. That's good. But read the Scripture to listen. And keep reading the Scripture until the light goes on. Do you know what I'm saying? Have you ever read a scripture that you've read a million times before, and then it was like, bing, something goes on, and you're like, wow, I see that now. Well, whatever that is, whatever nugget the Spirit of God has brought to you, take that truth into your day. Spend time listening to God through His Word. People say, I need to hear God's voice. Well, right here. He's speaking to you all the time. Everything you need is right here in His Word. So I listen to God through His Word. I speak to God through prayer. Always remember that it's a conversation. So you need to get real. You need to be honest with God. It's not this formal thing that people think it is, all the these and the thous, speaking in King James. God's not looking for you to speak in King James. He just wants you to talk to Him honestly from your heart. And even the people that will say to me, well, I don't know how to pray, Pastor Steve. I'm like, well, if you know how to talk, you know how to pray. Just talk to God. So I listen to God through His Word. I speak to God through prayer. And then the last one is that I give God my worship. After you've offloaded the burdens that you're carrying around in your times of prayer, walk into your day with worship. Send Judah first. The Bible talks about the power of those musicians headed out ahead of us in battle. There's something about walking into your day with the anointing and power of worship. Again, it sets the pace for where you're headed. And then finally, the last thing that I'll give you when it comes to a step to help you become a disciple and make disciples is to overcome the obstacles. You know, pushing past the obstacles that keep us from Him is so, so essential. Because left unchecked, the problems of discipline before it becomes delight, because it's got to start with discipline before it becomes something you delight in. So when we leave that kind of problem unchecked, or when we leave the problem of dryness in our lives before refreshing by His Spirit, or the problem of diligence before it becomes consistency, all these things can become roadblocks to slow us down. These are just a few of those distractions. I'm going to end with this story in Scripture because I think it wonderfully illustrates this truth. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42 says this, and Jesus and His disciples were on their way, and He came to a village. And we know it's the village of Bethany, where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him, and she had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He said. But listen, Martha was distracted. There's that word, right? Martha wasn't a bad person. She was a distracted person. So I want to tell you this. If you haven't spent time with God on a daily basis, please, please, please don't feel guilt. Don't feel shame. I've been there myself. I've been there myself when I'm pastoring within the church. So you work through those times. You come closer to Him. You get back up. You dust yourself back off, and you get back in there. And God is using, I believe, a message like this to get you back on track or to start you on the right track. It says but in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work myself? She was annoyed that her sister was just sitting at the feet of Jesus, just relaxing, taking it all in when she's getting dinner ready and getting the house ready. Have you ever been working around the house and maybe you're cleaning up and your husband or your wife is not, maybe your kids are sitting on the couch playing with their phone, maybe somebody's watching television, and it just starts to get a little annoying because you're trying to clean up and you're slamming the cupboards a little louder so that you want people to, hello, like I could really use some help here. You take the vacuum cleaner and you kind of run it over people's feet a couple of times, hoping that they'll get the picture. This was what Martha was feeling. She was annoyed. And you know what? Here's the thing. She was doing a good thing. She was doing this for the Master, for Jesus. So she says to Jesus, tell her to help me. But don't miss this. Listen to Jesus' loving response. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things." This room is filled with people that are worried and upset about many things. Maybe you're watching on the broadcast today and you're worried and you're upset about many things. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to the words that bring peace in the midst of chaos. You are worried and upset about many things, but listen, but only one thing is needed. Let that sink in. Let it sink in, because you know what? Over the next couple of months, as we go through this series, you're going to hear a lot of great things. But I want you to know that beyond all of these things, only one thing is truly needed. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken from her. The obstacles we face that keep us away from daily time with God are not always bad things. As a matter of fact, they might even be good things. They're just not the best things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your Spirit at work within our lives. We submit ourselves as your disciples to continue to grow and to develop in the ways of the Spirit. Help us as our master teacher to lead the way. We thank you that you're speaking to us through your word. Help us to take the time on a daily basis to do the one thing that we cannot miss, and that's time spent with you. I pray that anybody feeling the guilt of not doing it regularly, that you would just let that go right now and be encouraged by today's message, that the best posture you can be in right now is the one of a student to say, okay, I'm going to grow. If I didn't do it yesterday, then I'm going to do it tomorrow. Even if it's 15 minutes, I'm going to do it, Lord, and I'm going to honor you with the best part of my day as I get up in the morning. I pray that you'd strengthen every person who's realigning that commitment within them as a disciple, and that you take those who have just said yes to you, Lord, and I pray that each day would be a day of growth in their life as they continue to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week. We look forward to being with you again next Sunday.